On step 12, please give a warm welcome to Pat O from Fullerton, California.
Thank you, Jamie. Can you hear me, everyone? All right, I think so. My name is Pat. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be sober, grateful to be here. It's good to be in the Zoom world. It's good to see my friends. Thank you for reading, Maya. Good to see you, Carol. All kinds of friends in here, Sherry, and I don't want to, my finger, I don't want to be scrolling on my phone, but I'm really grateful to be sober. I'm grateful to be here. I have a full heart as a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. I woke up this morning and my first thought was, oh my God, another day. I'm on like 3 hours of sleep. I went to, yeah, anyways, I'm at a convention. I picked a friend up. And then I had to, you know, my plan was to like pick her up, come to the convention, enjoy the goodness. And then I had to pick someone else up and drive 3 hours, and God had other plans last night. And so I woke up and I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I realized that I left my charger at home. So I have no charger. So I'm in my phone and it feels like an unmanageable life, but, you know, I'm grateful to be sober. I'm grateful for the 12 step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, right? This message, having had a spiritual awakening and practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I think about what is, you know, this message and these steps and the first 11 steps in my recovery I've had a spiritual awakening. My spirit has awakened. You know, for so long, my spirit was sleeping. You know, my sobriety date's the 23rd of October of 2002. I have a sponsor. His name is Mike S. And I have a home group. And my home group is the South Coast Speakers Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, one of my favorite promises in the big book, it says, we have entered the world of the spirit. And, you know, I remember I was 10 years sober. I was, you know, for the first 10 years of my sobriety, I had worked the steps. I had got honest with my sponsor on a secret, but it was like a half a secret when I was brand new. You know, I couldn't really be 100% honest with him about this secret. And in about 9 months sober, another guy he sponsored came up to me and he said, I heard you have experience with this, and he presented the secret that I had shared with my sponsor. And at about 9 or 10 months sober, when that happened, I went back to a place where I didn't trust another human being. And I didn't have any intimate, honest relationships from that point till I was 8 years sober. But I am grateful for the foundation that was laid out. I'm grateful for the three sides of the triangle that was shown to me: recovery, unity, and service. And so I kept bringing my body to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like an AA action figure. You know, I had a lot of service commitments. I was busy. I was on a lot of committees. I was sponsoring guys. I always had a sponsor. But that level of, or the ability to be honest with another human being was just not. And so what happened was my behavior, you know, it wasn't good. And I got to a place at 8 years sober where I was going to kill myself. And I went back through the steps at 8 years sober. And I don't believe at that point up until 8 years I had no freedom. You know, the spiritual awakening hadn't happened in my life. You know, I felt trapped. I felt a prisoner. I felt like you know, it was kind of like, well, it was the bedevilments all the time, right? Having trouble with personal relationships, can't control my emotional nature, prey to misery and depression, can't be of use to other people, right? And that idea of get out of self, help others was a great idea. It truly saved me. The foundation of getting busy in AA and service to other people saved my life. It allowed me to get to a place where at 8 years sober, because of one more broken relationship, because of my behavior, I had the thought that I'm going to drive my car 100 miles an hour into oncoming traffic. And so I'm driving my car. It got to be 98 miles an hour, and I heard a voice in the back seat that said, "Call that guy Jonathan from your Tuesday night meeting before you kill yourself." And Jonathan talked about untreated alcoholism at 17 years for a long time, and I didn't really understand what it meant. And I made a call, and that guy answered the phone at midnight, and he stayed on the phone with me for 30 minutes while he drove 30 miles to come meet me at a Denny's. And I went back through the steps with that man, and I was suicidal in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for a year and a half while I went through these steps. And I uncovered and I discarded a lot of internal secrets and stuff that I had been holding on to from the past and drinking and stuff that was happening in the rooms when I was sober that 8 years. And so what started to happen was the honesty was I started to open up my heart to another human being. I started to allow another human being to love me, though I didn't know I was allowing that man to love me. Right. My spirit was awakening slowly and slowly and slowly. But what was keeping me in that suicidal space was that ego and not willing to let go, to let another human being truly love me spiritually. And so I you know, I had to look at a lot of the prejudices that I had towards God and towards religion, and I had to set those aside, and I had to really find a God that I could do business with. And the business that the God that I can do business with was one of love, right? I have been given intuition my whole life. I've always known what's wrong or right. I've always had a direct relation to God, though I was taught that I had to look outside of myself for God. I was always looking outside. I was always looking in the sky. I'd always pray, you know, up to God. And the longest journey that I've gone is from my head to my heart. And when I set those aside and I was able to find a God in my life, you know, it was in that last analysis, you know, for me, where God was found. And I remember I was yelling at God and I was screaming at God, and I didn't understand why is this happening? Why do I have to walk through this pain, you know? And in that moment, like, I had made a decision, you know, a true decision that I could no longer live this way. And I was either going to kill myself, or I was going to make this decision in the third step. And deep inside of me, on my floor of my apartment, right, I made that decision. I remember calling my sponsor. Am I here?
Yeah, you're good, pardon.
Am I here? Okay. And so I made this decision. I made this decision on the floor, you know, and that decision was written out. It was and I got busy and I got into some inventory, and for the first time in my life, I got honest about the deepest and the darkest of secrets that I've been holding for a long time. And looking back in retrospect, I didn't know at the time, but in that moment, I allowed another human being to see who Pat Ochoa, oh, excuse my last name, who Pat truly was to the core of myself. You know, and I went through the steps, and I literally, like, I was, you know, I held on to that only bit of power, which was to kill myself. You know, my sponsor would say, you know, you need to make amends to your dad. I wasn't willing to make it. You need to make amends to your dad. I'm not willing to make it, you know. And I got so tied up because in Alcoholics Anonymous, I would hear, what is your part, right? What is your part? Well, I don't have a part in that relationship, right? Like, my mom got pregnant in a blackout, and I never met the man. But I had a lot of old ideas wrapped around my relationship with my dad. And so, I would be on the cliff, gonna jump, and I would call my sponsor, and he would say things to me like, "I love you like a son," and he would say things like, "I would hate to not be able to say goodbye to you before you killed yourself," and he would ask me if I would meet him at the meeting before I killed myself. He allowed me to still have that bit of what I felt like was power, and I would go to the meeting, and he would give me a hug, and he would kiss me, and he'd ask me if I would see him at the meeting tomorrow. And I would say, "I'll meet you at the meeting tomorrow." And then I'd be on the cliff, and then I would call him, and he'd ask me about the amends to my dad. And he would tell me things like, I love you like a son, we meet, man. And so what happened was this man started to become a father figure in my life. He started, it started to be a spiritual bond. And that I didn't know what was happening at the time. And finally I was like, don't call that guy. You're going to get manipulated to go to the meeting. That's how I felt. You know, I felt like it was still that point, that finger pointing out. And I was on this bridge going to jump. And I said to God for the first time, I said, man, I'm not going to call that sponsor guy, man. I'm just going to kill myself. And you have 10 seconds. And as I got out of my car, I got to the front of my car, my phone rang, and it was a young guy from Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hadn't talked to him in 5, 6, 7 years. And he called me and he said, Pat, I just wanted to thank you for saving my life, but I'm going to go get loaded. And on the bridge, as I'm going to kill myself, I started to talk about the first step, and I started to talk about the insanity of the first drink. And I'm so grateful. And he wasn't a sponsee at that point, but I'm so grateful for that we're a storytelling society, right? Because I started to talk about the insanity of the first drink, and I was in the insanity of my own thinking sitting on that bridge that day. And I was being honest with this guy about my thinking, not that I was there, but as that first drink. And I had that intuition that there were, I said, Dad, there's a meeting. And I looked, and there was a meeting happening, and I asked him if he would meet me there, and he said he would meet me there. And I got in my car and I drove 30 miles and I walked into the Canyon Club in Laguna Beach, and I met that kid, and he started to cry, and I did, I was just looking at it, and I genuinely like cared for this kid, you know, and he asked me to be his sponsor, you know, and I said, yes, I'd love to be your sponsor, you know, and that kid saved my life, you know, service work one more time saved my life. And I went to my apartment that night and I was talking to God, and I didn't understand. I said, why do I have to experience all this pain? Like, I can't walk through life like this. It's too painful. I can't do this. And I mean, it wasn't a hand. God didn't wasn't physical, but it was a power that literally pushed me off of my couch. And I was on the floor, and it was the most excruciating pain I'd ever been in. It was like the evil was like ripping out of me. And I said, but I don't, and there's no words even to say it, but I started to make amends to a man I never met. You know, where were my mistakes? You know, I didn't have any direct mistakes in my relationship with my father. Right. But my mistakes in my life was that in every relationship, if I only had a father, I'd know how to be a boyfriend to you. If I only had a father, I'd know how to be a friend to you. All those old ideas that were wrapped around my relationship with my dad, right? Like, were all of the manipulation tactics that I used in order to allow me to remain a victim in my own life. And as I'm making this amends, it was like the victim was pulled out, and the power of love, which was what I came to believe, which was God, went deep down within me. And I remember getting done with the amends on my apartment floor, and it was like I just took a deep exhale, you know. And I got up on that it was like, or 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I got up, man, and I went to my bed and I fell asleep just like that. And I believe, like, for me, right, like in that moment was the last amends I had to make. I had entered the world of the spirit in the 10th step. And for me, it was a pivotal point where I could see that that spiritual awakening had happened as a direct result of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And the message, right, that I am to carry is this message, right? Like, I have my message that from my experience of the process of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So when I'm asked to be on any Zoom, whether it's a 12 step in general, whether it's just a normal talk, whether it's you know, whatever it is, it's this message, which is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and my experience as they relate to that, you know, because we're a storytelling society. For me, I relate to the spirit, right? I relate to when you're open and you're honest about your story, and there's that connection, right? There's that oh yeah, right? When I hear the for me personally, I don't jive with the educational experience, right? Where it's a book thing like this. For me, like I need to know that you've been where I've been, that you felt the way I felt, right? That you expressed the hopelessness, that today you have hope, right? Today that because of this the steps, right, that you've been given courage, right, which then makes me feel in that loneliness that there is hope, that I too have the courage within, that you did that. I think I'm gonna go try that. Now, how many relationship issues have I tried or things have I been in with my sponsor? He's like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. And I go do it anyways, because I gotta have my own experience many, many times, right? But I look back and I say, oh, that's what he was talking about. Oh, now I understand, right? Oh, now I understand how to let go. And because for me, sorry guys, for me, the experience is my experience is so valuable that like right before this meeting, I was talking to a guy sponsor, and I'm sharing my experience and my strength and my hope. And he's like, that sounds great, but this is what I'm going to go do, And I'm like, all right, And so I put the popcorn in the microwave and I sit back and I, watch the show about to go down. But the greatest gift that I get is that pain that deep-seated pain has become one of my greatest assets today. And being of love and service, being of love and service to God and my fellows is the greatest gift. The liabilities in my life have become my greatest assets today. And this idea of practicing the principles in all my affairs, I am a step 10 and 11. I love, love, love. You know what I mean? The 10th step for me is really, really when we talk about when I hear being on the spiritual beam, for me is step 10. Step 10 says to continue to watch for selfishness, self-centered, right? Self-seeking and fear. And resentment and dishonesty. And when I'm looking for those things in my life, right, for me, I'm on that beam, right? Immediately when I'm dishonest, immediately when I'm resentful, immediately when I'm afraid, internally the spirit is shaken, right? Internally, I know here, which where God lies for me, right? It's like God saying, yeah, that's not the right thing, right? And so when this is shaken, it says when these crop up, we pray about them first. And so when it crops up and I say a prayer, which means I'm afraid, I get afraid all the time. I'm afraid, I mean, someone's like, how are you doing? I'm not doing good, but I tell them I'm doing great. I'm dishonest, And so for me, that little bit of dishonesty, right, needs to be checked, right? Like, no, I don't need to go, tell you for 3 hours about how horrible my perception of my life is to the clerk at the store. I don't mean like that. But I need to be honest. And so it says to talk to somebody, or it says to pray first, talk to somebody, make amends if necessary, and then turn my thoughts and attentions to who I can help. And if I can practice that, then for me spiritually, I'm on the spiritual beam, and if I fall short of that 10th step throughout the day, when I get home at night, right, I got the chatter going on, right? I know exactly, where I fell short in the day. And the greatest thing about that nightly review, right, is that I get a look at the assets. I get a look at the good in the day that I participated in, the good loving service things, right? And I get to look at the where I fell short, right? And I get to clean that up. And if I don't clean that up in the morning time, right, that chatter's still going. And meditation is hard for me to get in because the mind is going about the exact same little thing, right? And if I don't practice those, come, week, 2 weeks, I'm gonna be really, really, really a train wreck, And my son, okay, like for an example, me and my son are really tight. We're really, really close. And he's got big emotions. He's a 17-year-old young man, and He's walking through adolescence, and man, I mean, kids are mean, you know, and so I get defensive, you know what I mean? I want to go out there and knock some kids out, you know what I mean? I'm like, can't be mean to my boy, you know, but because Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me to have my own experience, to walk through my own experience, I practice that into his life, and I allow him to have his own experience. But I'm a human being, right? Like, I have feelings, and sometimes I react. You know, for example, you know, I instantly want to go into like solution for him, you know, and he gets his feelings hurt, you know, because I'm not listening to him, you know, and so I'm like, you know, I bark at him, you know, I'm like, oh, you need to do this, and you know, and the other day, he's, you know, he's a sensitive boy, man, and he just shut down right in front of me. He's like, dude, just shut down, locked up. And he's usually really open, and I knew exactly, right, that like that my resentment towards this kid that was hurting him, right, because I didn't, you know, I was getting angry at this kid that was hurting him over the time, you know, and me like instilling my will into him, right, was like, it wasn't kind, it wasn't loving, I wasn't coming from a place of humility, you know, I wasn't willing to, you know, listen to him, and I wasn't being of service, you know what I mean? I was being a self will, push my will through you to get what I think you need to do, and he shut down, and I paused, you know what I mean? I was like, pause when agitated or doubtful, you know what I mean? And I you know, went into step 10, sitting in front of him. We were sitting in silence, and I said a prayer, you know, and the answer was clear. Like, you know, be kind, be loving, be tolerant, you know. And so, you know, I made an apology to him. I said, you know, I apologize, you know, for pushing my will through you, what I think you should do, you know. And I said, you know, I'm just gonna sit and listen and allow you to be open with your feelings. And he did. He started to open up, and he started to share with me. And I said, would you like any, you know, me to share any solution or anything with you? And he said, no, I just appreciate you listening sometimes, Dad. And man, what a teachable moment, you know, what a teachable moment, man. Where does the teacher come? The teacher comes when the student's ready, you know, and for me, the student's ready, right? When I can pause, when agitated or doubtful, when I can apply step 10, when I can apply step 11 and just be present, right? When I can breathe God in, right? You know, let go of thought, breathe God in, discontinue thought, breathe God in, right? And I get to be of love and service. I get to go back into that space of being of love and service to God and my fellows. You know, in the ninth step, it says, right, that the primary purpose of this is to be of maximum fit to God and my fellows. Right, and that's exactly what's happened as a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I have a heart full of love today that I want to share with the world. You know what I mean? Like, that selfishness and self-centered walked in the door. Now, if I don't apply this program to my life, that selfish and self-centered character is running around causing a ruckus. And I've done that for a long, long time. Today, but I choose to apply the principles in all of my affairs. You know, and this idea of service is, you know, this, sorry guys, I appreciate your patience. You know, this idea of working with others, has gone, you know, I've had a many, many different, you know, I mean, it's kind of gone up and down, you know. And in Southern California, you know, right now, to be honest with you, like, I have, you know, three guys I take through the steps that are between one and four. You know, I got a few guys on nine. You know, a lot of guys that I've sponsored that you know that are living good lives. You know, I've stood as best man in people's weddings. I've been there for births. You know, a lot of good things. But currently, in Southern California, they'll ask, you know, if you're a sponsor, raise your hand, you know, if you want to sponsor. And I'm not raising my hand, you know, but I'm still putting my hand out to the newcomer, and I'm welcoming the newcomer when they come to Alcoholics Anonymous. right? I ask them, do you have a sponsor? And if they don't have a sponsor, then I introduce them to members of our group, right? That are on fire for Alcoholics Anonymous. I used to just take on everybody, anybody, all the time, and I would do a disservice because I didn't have the time, and I was doing a disservice, and it wasn't about love and service, man. It was about my ego and who I was and a big shot in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that almost killed me. You know what I mean? That almost killed me in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not the only, the only person that can be of love and service. And I had an experience with a sponsee. To make a long story short, there's a lot, mental health is a big deal in around here. You know what I mean? I was in my home group and was pulled out by three police officers because that person put a false claim that I put my hands on them. And thank God there was other members of Alcoholics Anonymous that were in that room that day, right? Right in front of 250 people, you know what I mean? And I went to a place, and I mean, the person went through every area of my life, called my family, Facebook, all these people. Like it was gnarly, right? It was a crazy experience. And I went to a place where I was completely not going to sponsor another human being. You know what I mean? And it was about a year ago. And I needed time to heal. I needed time for spirit to heal. I needed to get to that place. And now I'm at that place where now I'm starting to put my hand out more. I'm starting to come to realize that God was in the middle of it all, right? God allowed me to get to a place to reevaluate the things in my life, and to not be a big shot one more time in Alcoholics Anonymous. I just want to be one amongst many. I just want to be one amongst many. And Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a beautiful life. I came off of Skid Row 21 years ago, and I hadn't showered in 6 months. I panhandled. People look right through me. And today I get to look right into people's hearts. Like all the material things mean nothing to my connection that I have with you today. The connection I have with you today is the most important thing in my life today. I'll keep coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll keep loving you. As long as I'm loving you, I'm not tolerating you. And you know what I mean? I'm not. And I'm loving you. I'm loving you for the good and the bad. And who am I to judge the bad? 'Cause I'm a wonky dude. You know what I mean? I got some quirks, you know what I mean? And I love my quirks today. Alcoholics Anonymous has introduced me to the neurosis called alcoholism that lies right here in my head. You know what I mean? And some days I'm neurotic, and thank God for the program, but I love the good and the bad today. I love the good and the bad today. So if you're new, I don't know if I said anything. I'm on like zero sleep. You know what I mean? I don't even know what I talked about. I'm a little nervous. It's going to be on the website recording, and it's also really weird to hear your own talk. You ever hear your own talk? That's weird. I tried once. Sometimes I'll hear, I'm Pat, I'm an alcoholic, and I just go, oh my God, turn this thing off. Horrible. You have a horrible voice. So I still have alcoholism. I still have the thinker that separates me from you. And it tells me all kinds of wonky things, but I know it's the lie. It's the great lie that separates me from you. And when I apply the program, I'm connected to you, and I want to be connected to you. So I love you all, and I hope you have a good day or night or sleep or wherever you're at in the world.